Behind the news. Time check. It's 8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
A very good evening to you, and you're welcome to Behind the News, a program which examines issues from the perspective of newsmakers and experts. My name is Agatha Asamoah, and tonight, NPP says it might get back to the courts to seek a review if a three-member team so constituted makes recommendations to that effect. Does the latest decision look like a slap on the face of Nanado? Lead counsel for the NDC, Tatu Chikata, comes under heavy criticism following his comments against one of the justices who sat on the election petition hearing, and calls for electoral reforms towards 2016 general elections heightened. We will speak to former commissioner of the EC for his views on this. Join me in the next hour as we delve into these issues. You can also join the discussions via text on 0266677570. 0266677570. Behind the News is also live on Ubonu FM 96.5 in Tema, Radio Central 92.5 in Cape Coast, and Twin City 94.7 in Takoradi. And our text line again is 0266677570. 0266677570. Many thought after the verdict on the election petition, the country would have moved on. However, less than 5 days after the verdict, the lead counsel for the NDC, Tatu Chikata, has stirred the honest nest, accusing one of the justices of the Supreme Court who sat on the election petition, Justice Enin Yeboah of Bayelsa, saying he consistently voted in a particular manner because he was appointed by former President Kufuor. However, the office of the former president has come out strongly on the comments by the NDC lead counsel, describing it as unacceptable. A statement signed by the spokesperson of the former president, Frank Ejekum, said the comments are unwarranted and unacceptable. But some commentators are also saying that the NDC lead counsel has a right to express his thoughts if he thinks one of the judges has not been fair. And Star Ghana is proud to be associated with this program. And Frank Ejekum is the spokesperson of the former President Kufuor, and he's joining us on the line. Good evening, Mr. Ejekum, and you are welcome.
Good evening. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Ejekum, what was the reaction of the former president when the verdict was given by the Supreme Court?
Well, the former president expressed surprise. He was not happy that such comments had been made, especially because where there was a link, an attempt to link the performance of the judge to his government, in the sense that it was his government that appointed Justice Enin Yeboah. And therefore, the reason given by Mr. Chikata that Damas has delivered his judgment was very unfortunate indeed. President Kufuor believed that Justice Enin attained his position because he's very qualified to be there. His works and his qualification does qualify him to be where he is. And so the fact that he was appointed at his administration doesn't come in at all. He also remarked that as many as 6 of the 9 judges were appointed under his administration. So why do you then single out Justice Enin Yeboah for such comments? Especially because the comments he made about him were not correct, in the sense that Justice Enin Yeboah did not always vote against NDC. And there's evidence to show that of the 3 cases out of 6, Justice Enin Yeboah also voted against the NPP. You know, it was on the other 3 that various judges voted variously. So why then do you ignore the fact that there were instances that he voted against NDC, and then just take the instances where he voted for NPP and say that has colored his all his judgment? So those were the issues he wanted to bring out, especially because he's coming from such a leading member of the bar as Mr. Tatu Chikata. They think that the facts should be set straight, so that nobody sits under the illusion that the judges did did what they did because they were biased or they favored one person or the government, and that's what they did. By the same stretch of imagination, can we say that those judges who voted NDC did so because they favored NDC? I don't think so. So those are some of the things that President Nkrumah wanted to put out.
But then one would ask, doesn't Mr. Chikata also have the right to express his opinion about the behavior of the judges if he thinks he has not been treated fairly?
Well, you see, it depends on what you say about the judges and the rulings they give. If you give, for instance, in our instance, the petitioners, we have said categorically that we disagree with the judgment, but we accept it. We are not impugning or imputing any negativity or any bias to anybody. But if such a high member of society, especially of the bar, comes out and impugns such motives to the judge, then it's unfortunate because really if you put him to strict proof, you cannot prove that Judge Saini voted the way he voted because he was put into position under President Kufuor's administration. You cannot prove that. That's very difficult for you to prove. It's a very subjective view. And don't inflict your subjective views on the whole society. You know, so we should be careful, you know, because then what is going to happen? If everybody starts nitpicking, we all start going and saying, oh, this will happen and that, then the justices and the judicial system in Ghana will lose its essence because then everybody has a right to say what they want to say about a judge after the judgment has been given.
All right, so to him, his comments are really unacceptable at all.
They are not good. It doesn't help the judicial process. It doesn't help the democratic system that we are building. You know what I mean? Because we've gone through it a very difficult 8 months. Everybody has come out, and we, the petitioners who lost, have said, yes, we disagree, but we are going to go on for the sake of the nation. So if we then begin to untie the things that have been tied already, if we begin to split our heads and then begin to start looking for faults where there are no faults, really, then, of course, people would then take to doing things that wouldn't do well for all of us as a people. These are some of the things that begin to bring in anarchy and chaos in the system. Because everybody runs haywire, saying the things that they need to say because they think that they have the right to say what they have to say. And the peace that we all think, or we are all trying very hard to protect, will be broken. So that's why some of these comments are very unhelpful.
Well, Mr. Jakun, let me indulge you to hold the line for me briefly as lawyer Abraham Amaleba, a member of the NDC legal team, has been listening to our conversation and joining us via phone. Good evening, Mr. Amaleba, and you are welcome.
Good evening. Good evening to our listeners.
Well, what would you say prompted Mr. Chikata to make these comments, and are they fair comments from where you stand?
I just heard Franka Jakun make the point that such comments are a way of attacking the judiciary, and it is not in the right direction. I agree with him, but I want to point out that the first salvo was fired by the petitioner. When the panel was constituted, you had the petitioner raising an objection against Justice Atuguba. What was his crime? That he asked his nephew at the presidency called Dr. Raymond Atuguba. So you see, the grounds were already fertile, and the seeds were already sown for what we are seeing today. Nonetheless, I will not condone any such conduct. And I think that these are what we call the aftermath, events of the aftermath of the election petition. Aftermath in the sense that they are coming immediately after the judgment has been given. And this is a matter which is of national interest, and the stakes were very high. The stakes were very high to the extent that you could feel the whole country sitting on tenterhooks, and people had observations during the period. And the case is over. People are now, as it were, airing their views concerning what they observe during the election petition hearing. And so Chachikata is not in this category alone. He is there with somebody like Gabi Osvidako, whose Facebook wall has some disparaging comments. But I can tell you that after some time, and as we all know, time heals wounds. After some time, these persons, when you call them, these persons that we are talking about, when you call them the next time, they will tell you that, oh, no, they didn't mean what they said, or they were misquoted, or that it was taken out of context, simply because they themselves have realized that those comments are in bad taste.
But, Ms. Amalaba, raising an objection is quite different from tagging a Supreme Court judge with party colors, which I believe was put bluntly. Aren't you trying equalization here?
Indeed, I think that tagging a Supreme Court with political colors is milder than tagging a Supreme Court with ethnic considerations and ethnic backgrounds, and saying that because he has a nephew or a niece at the presidency, he will not be fair. I think that that is even much higher. Ethnicity is much higher, a destructive element than politics. But I think the matter is that whether political considerations or ethnic considerations, I don't think that we should subject our judges to that.
But again, critics say all the nine justices voted 9-0 on three of the pleadings, so the comment is unwarranted. Do you agree?
I have just indicated to you that my senior colleague, Judge Ishikata, may be making those comments out of observations that he has made during the trial. But I think that it is not fair to openly associate a judge to a political party and proceed from there to attack the judge or even attack the whole judiciary, as Gabby Ochildako did in trying to accuse the judiciary for not giving the verdict to Nana Akufo-Addo. And so, for me, it is to be expected. And indeed, if you go to other jurisdictions, such comments also come about. But it is, as a nation, to keep reminding these persons that these comments are not properly situated. And I'm just telling you that you should. They are human beings. They are not, as it were, infallible. They are fallible. So sometimes people get carried away. But I can bet you, if you call them now, they will tell you that, oh, they didn't mean it and those things. But there are more important matters that we can engage ourselves with. It does not bring bread and butter on our tables.
All right, Ms. Amalaba, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Lawyer Abraham Amalaba is a member of the NDC Legal Team. Now, let me come back to you, Mr. Ezekum. You heard Mr. Amalaba of the NDC Legal Team, but have your members made similar comments which smacked of attacks on the same judiciary and also unwarranted?
You know why I disagree with Mr. Amalaba? I know he tried very well to try and suit matters, which is good. But I disagree with him on two scores, too. And the first one is that he said some people in the NPP had said certain things about Judge Atukuba because he has a nephew in the presidency and stuff like that. But you see, these were before the proceedings really got under steam. And don't let's forget that Judge Atukuba himself did issue a final touch line beyond which everybody was supposed to be very careful in what they said. So what's happened before and after are very significant. And also, coming from a very high person in terms of a long standing at the bar, as Mr. Chikata is, it makes it all the more dangerous and serious. You know, so we cannot by any stretch of the imagination say that, oh, because somebody has said something at the beginning of the trial, so therefore it is all right for somebody to say a similar or something else as disparaging at the end of the trial. I don't think that is on. You know, so we should be careful. We all want the peace maintained. And if he does concede that it was unfair, then that is it. We all want to move on as a people, as a country, so that we enjoy the peace that we have in this country. If we begin to nitpick and we begin to taint judges with their political colors, which we are not even too sure of, and which you cannot prove that the judgment was influenced by their political leanings, then it's very worrying. You know, so I just wanted to say that we should be careful, and these things don't help anybody.
All right. So what do you think Mr. Akufo will be telling the faithful at this trying time of the NPP?
President Akufo has said what he wanted to say about this matter. To the NPP supporters and all Ghanaians, really, he has said that we should put everything behind us and move on as a country. We've been to court. We, the petitioners, are not happy about with the ruling. We have pushed for a better ruling, but we got what we got. And we did go to court knowing that we could either win or lose. And we chose to go to court because we are very constitutional-minded people as a party. We chose to go to court because we believe in the justice system. So the justice system has come out to say what they have said. We accept it, although grudgingly, but we move on. And we are glad and proud of the steps we took. We are glad and proud that we're able to go through it. We are glad and proud that we did show to the whole world that we did really have a big case. And so that's how we want to see it.
But then, briefly, again, the party says it will now seek a review. How will that sit with former President Akufo when he wants the party to move on, just like Nanado?
Well, to be fair, I'm not too sure the party has taken a categorical stand to make a review. I think that some people in the party who are pushing for a review, I'm not too sure the party has come out categorically and definitively on the matter. I believe that if that should be the case, a formal and proper communication will be made. As of now, we go by what our leader said, and he has said that he accepts it grudgingly, even though he does not agree.
All right, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
You're welcome.
Frank Ejekum is the spokesperson of former President Akufo. And the National Peace Council, before the verdict, led a peace campaign to ensure that Ghanaians continue to enjoy the peace. So how is this comment going to affect the prevailing peace? And Most Reverend Emmanuel Asante is the chairman of the National Peace Council, and he's joining us on the line. Good evening, Rev, and you are welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, Rev, how serious is this comment by the NDC lead council to the peace campaign that the council has been championing?
What you know, you need to remind me, what statement of the NDC?
That Mr. Chachu Chikata came out with.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's very unfortunate, really. It's uncalled for. I do not see a lawyer of Mr. Chachu's caliber, a luminary, a highly respected man, to have allowed emotion, you know, to overcome him to the extent that he could go down there to that level to describe a Supreme Court justice in the manner he did, you know, putting a political tag on him, thus tarnishing the image of that particular person. I think he's an honorable man, and I'm sure that on reflection, it would be good if he could come out and say he's sorry for what happened, because I don't think that it is proper. It has opened floodgates for people to say things that they shouldn't say, and that is a threat to our peace. And I don't think that we have any business doing things of this nature to disturb the peace that we have in this country. And for that matter, I will also say to any other person who, you know, I mean, it's said that you can disagree with a Supreme Court verdict, but then you have to be very careful the comments you make in respect of that verdict, so that you do not, you know, tarnish the image of that institution, which is a very important arm of government. I'm surprised that it's lawyers who are doing this. These are the people who should be educating us. They should not run down the judiciary. It's unfortunate, and we must say it.
But then one would say, doesn't Mr. Chikata also have the right to express his opinion as a citizen? At least that is what others are also saying.
Right to express his opinion at such a time? In what context? In what manner? In the manner that he did it? No, I don't think that we should condone, you know, and things of this nature. It's not helpful. It's unwarranted. It's uncalled for.
Does it mean then that the comments have the tendency of eroding the gains that we've made concerning the peace that we are enjoying now?
It is unfortunate. There is already open floodgates, and people who do not even understand what he said are saying all sorts of things. And I'm saying, please, let's cease fire. Let's go back to the confidence that we had when the verdict came and the leadership, Nana Akufo-Addo, came out to accept the verdict, even though he was unhappy with the way it went. He said he accepted it and he, you know, informed his followers to do the same. And if you listen to the address that he gave, he spoke as a Democrat, as somebody who believed in the rule of law. And then the president also came, showed magnanimity in victory. That momentum is what we should have pushed forward. But we shouldn't go back to the period of politics of invectives, you know, scoring, you know, attacking one another and that sort of thing. I don't think it is proper. The timing is wrong.
But is it possible you arrange a meeting with Mr. Chikata or the NDC to be measured in their statements henceforth?
It's not a question of arranging a meeting, because I think it is proper for people to understand. These are grown-ups. These are people who know, and they are in the country. So I'm sure they are listening. They know what the public feels about it. I'm saying that the public, sometimes you get up and speak their minds, rather than, you know, hiding on the corner and just saying, what is the Peace Council doing? What is the Peace Council doing? The nation doesn't belong to the politicians. It belongs to all of us. And if something is going on that could jeopardize the peace that we have, we need to speak up. And I'm glad that a statesman like President Kufuor has spoken. I'm hoping that others will also speak, so that we say enough is enough. Let's, you know, right now the emphasis should be on partnership, not on partisanship, where people simply say things against one another. It doesn't push our nation forward. It doesn't help us. So please, let's cease fire. Let us move forward in peace.
Now, we hear the Peace Council will speak on the issue to the press tomorrow. What should we expect from the council to the media?
We are not going to speak because of what Statue said. The Peace Council, after the verdict, have not met, and we are meeting to review. And after the review, we'll make a statement. And I guess what we're going to say is simply thanking the country. We're going to thank the country for, you know, our commitment to peace, and for all that we have been able to do, and also urge us to sustain the momentum.
All right, Rev, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Most Reverend Emmanuel Asante is the chairman of the National Peace Council, and lawyer Frimpong Manso is a lecturer at the Ghana Institute of Journalism and a private legal practitioner. Good evening, Mr. Frimpong Manso, and you are welcome.
Thank you very much. Good evening to all of you.
Well, Mr. Frimpong Manso, would you say Mr. Chikata was fair in his comment?
Well, let me start by talking about how we come by statements like this. I think the crux of his argument was that because Justice Emi Yeboah was appointed by former President Kufuor, that is why his outpourings, his leaning, his everything has got to do with the criticism of the NDC. Now, I want us to take a look at the constitutional provision of appointment of justices. Now, when you look at the 1992 constitution, as we use it now, Article 144, Clause 2, that's where the appointment is done. Based upon the exigency of the time, the president, especially for justices, in consultation with the judicial council, or well, the advice of the judicial council, and then in consultation with council of state, and approval by parliament, appoint a justice of the Supreme Court. Now, in this vein, based upon the exigency of the time, any president looking at the situation can appoint a justice of the Supreme Court. And you realize that if you look at the composition of the Supreme Court, at any material time, one justice is appointed to or whatever, appointed by a particular president. And therefore, you have a consortium of president's appointees in the Supreme Court. Now, if somebody comes out with a position that because a president appointed a particular justice and therefore his inclination is leaning is towards that president, then that is where there is a problem of objectivity. Then we can all say that then every Supreme Court judge also has a leaning of course, with a particular president or a presidency. And this is where we are all not getting it wrong and we are all not getting it right. And this is where I have problem with my senior lawyer, Judge Chikata. Now, you realize that Mr. Judge Chikata is not a mean person in the legal profession. In fact, he has taught so many lawyers in Ghana. He has also been astute in many, many cases, and he has also been prolific on many, many issues. Now, if a statement of this is coming from such a high-profile lawyer, then I don't know what really moved him to come to that position. And I'm very worried because, you know, there's a popular saying that examples of good men are to be copied by boys. You realize that students who are in the law schools, young lawyers, are all learning from the seniors, because in the legal profession, seniority is something that we don't joke with. And if a senior person like this is making such a position, then for me, it is a very sad period for me. Very, very sad, because what are we then learning? What are we not telling the young people who are not coming? What are they also going to do in terms of leanings and whatever? And this is where I think my senior lawyer colleague has not done very, very well. And I think with all humility, he may have to come out and to probably retract the position that he has taken.
But then, why do you think a lawyer of that stature would make such comments? Because some say he has a grudge with the judge going way back to the appeal court, and that's what he used this opportunity to vent out his frustrations.
You see, if we are all going to base our kind of motions on experiences of the past, then we are all going to always falter in terms of true positions that we carry. Now, you'll recall that in the famous case of the IFC or the state versus Judge Chikata, I think Justice Emi Yebua was part of the panel that tried Mr. Judge Chikata. And so that kind of prejudice, I'll call it, from my own position, that kind of prejudice is probably what is carrying him on to make such a position. Now, we realize that at any material time, people always want to refer to their past and the bitterness that probably they encountered to really make such a position. But I don't think this should be the case, and more especially of a person of his sort, of his caliber, with that high standing. You see, if you want to impute this manner of things in all issues, then I think we shall always make these positions. And I think that's where it's coming from, because from the argument that he advanced, based upon what we heard on the TV3 program, that was exactly the situation. And I don't think it is good for the peace and the tranquility that we want to enjoy in this country. And for me, I think this is a serious anticlimax in terms of the court proceedings that we have just gone through. 8 good months of court proceedings. 8 good months. Well, he himself, when he was on the trial suit, was always saying that people should behave properly. Then why this anticlimax this time? That is my worry. And for me, it is very, very sad. Just too sad. So I think he has to really come out and clear himself. He has to come out and clear himself.
Well, Mr. Frimpong Manso, some people think legally they are contemptuous comments. But can one be cited for contempt when a case is over?
Oh, there are so many cases where lawyers commented upon cases that had been tried. And they were slapped with contempt. There are so many cases. So in this one, well, I throw it to Ghanaian to decide. But from my mind, from my own perspective, I think as a lawyer, making such a comment and knowing very well the ethics of the profession, I think we all just have to say that that's why we have to condemn it. It is really very close to contempt, it is not contempt.
All right, Mr. Frimpong Manso, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Stephen Frimpong Manso is a lecturer at the Ghana Institute of Journalism and a private legal practitioner. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana Accra. Star Ghana is proud to be associated with this program. Now let's read some of your text messages. And Mohammed Mumuni says the comments made by Chachi Tukata at this crucial moment is not in good taste. Lempo in Pandai says if the judges see nothing wrong with the elections, then why are people calling for electoral reforms? Joyce Ashia North Lagos says NDC, NPP should let sleeping dogs lie. Ghana needs peace. And Alex Insene says Tatu should be held responsible for any outbreak of violence. He did not speak well at all. Many thanks for your text messages. Behind the News is live on Unique FM 95.7 in Accra. And Kofoda is on Sunrise FM 106.7 and Garden City 92.1 in Kumasi. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. It was the expectation of many that the election petition, if for nothing at all, would call for reforms in our electoral system. But last Thursday's judgment on the petition seems to have somewhat dipped hopes for these reforms. The subject of voting without verification and overvoting were dismissed by the court. One therefore wonders if there is the need for reforms, adding his voice to the calls of the former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. So our calls for reforms for the 2016 elections, right? What are we expected to see should there be reforms? And we had scheduled former Deputy Chairman of the Electoral Commission, David Kangabada. He's not taking his lines. But we are also joined on the line by Paul Abrampa Mensah, who is a CDD Programs Officer. Good evening, Mr. Abrampa Mensah, and you are welcome.
Thank you, my sister.
Well, our call for electoral reforms necessary, looking at the verdict delivered last Thursday.
Well, thank you very much, and let me say good evening to...
Mr. Abrampa Mensah, could you speak up? We can hardly hear you.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I'll just say greeting our listeners. Reforms in the election administration are yes needed, and let me also say that probably from my view, it's not only because of the Supreme Court issue, but it's been part of our electoral administration since we re-entered into democratic dispensation in 1992. So yes, we've been doing it almost after every election. Both local and national level elections. But this time, maybe the call is coming, and they have been coming from people because of what we've experienced. So it's in the right direction, and it's something that has been going on, and it must go on this time too.
But then, would you agree with people who say that the way the judgment went, it didn't look like reforms are necessary?
Very important. It's very necessary. And my sister... in any situation and in any process, after some time of administration or implementation of policies, there should be reflections and a review to inform what went wrong, see what went wrong to inform future planning. So yes, it's important and we need it. That's why I said it's not only because we had issues on the election administration. It's something that is needed. A postmortem needs to be taken, needs to be done, and to reflect on what we need to do to improve upon our election administration. So yes, not only because of the court case, but it is needed for improvement.
You said it's needed for improvement. But then what are some of the key issues on which there would be the need for electoral reforms?
Thank you. Well, we have
Hello, Mr. Abrampa Mensah, we are losing you. Could you reposition yourself well?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Yes, so I'm sorry, I'm speaking far away from Kintampo, so sometimes the lines are not good.
All right.
Yeah. Right, if you ask me now, I won't be able to pinpoint a particular side that we need, but I can give you generally some of the issues that we need to consider. Fortunately, CDD Ghana is on the doing a total review, and after our review, maybe we'll be able to itemize what and what we have to go into this. But now, I think, one, we need to design and redesign our training checklist for our temporary staff. We need to design a new checklist and improve upon submission of our election results. We need to design and also improve upon collation of our results. And all these things are things that might come in. And secondly, we need specifically to train our observers as to how to fill the form, what is needed, and what's not needed. The same way, we also need to train our temporary staff to come in for the police staff as a agent. What to expect before they leave the police station. So these are some of the things that initially we can talk of, but after the general review of the administration of the 2012 election, maybe, and in consideration with the Supreme Court issues and the issues that were presented to the court, we could be able to itemize the issues and go into detail.
But then, talking about staff for the East, especially on the day of elections, people are saying that we should at least have degree holders who knows how to read and write. Do you agree with them?
Sure, and it's unfortunate that I'm not in Accra. I have forwarded to you a matrix that have been designed from my office together with some donor communities and other people. And as one line item was a recommendation as to the caliber of people that we should consider, and also the people who should be considered in helping the EC in the training. And one recommendation was that if the Electoral Commission will have any alliance with the National Service Secretariat, at least we could use the service personnel in who have completed the university and have basic knowledge to handle some of these things. I think one of it came because of the kind of technology that are coming up as part of the electoral administration. It's so if somebody is a bit qualified, training him to the use of these new biometric and other technologies, filling simple forms will be easier than picking any. But don't forget, we might have some of these problems because you quite remember in the 2012 elections, I think there was a communique that the teachers were not going to be allowed to be used in this process. And therefore, it might have affected the temperance and the caliber of people the Electoral Commission had in recruiting for this post. So yes, one of it has been the recommendation of using newly degree holders, especially linking up with the National Service Secretariat the pool of people they will use every year. So I think it's in the right direction to look into the quality and the caliber of people we use.
Well, these reforms, if they are to be carried out, when do you think they will be appropriate? Should it be immediate or wait till 2016 to undertake them?
My sister, we should start now and start implementing now using the local upcoming 2014 local level elections to try our hands on. We've recommended already continuously using the biometric machines and the system for improvement and also for people and the temporary staff to get familiar with the use of the system. So when you ask me, I say now. And the National Commission should start thinking about improving and redesigning their checklist for training and to be used in the upcoming 2012 election, the 2014 local government election.
Do you therefore see a big task ahead of the EC?
Well, it's always been a task. In fact, if you ask me, in our country, elections have always been a big factor in any democratic decision, and the Electoral Commission has been a major mobilizer, a major handling of almost every electoral cycle. So it's a task, and it's going to be a task so long as we continue to use temporary staff, so long as we continue to seek for improvement, and so long as we continue to seek for free and fair grounds. So it's always a task to be able to organize such process.
All right, Mr. Abraham Pamesa, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
You're welcome, my sister.
Paul Abraham Pamesa is with CDD Ghana, and we are also joined on the line by Sheikh Arimiyao Shaibu, a member of Coalition of Domestic Election Observers, could do. Good evening, Sheikhan. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity.
Well, Sheikh, has it been more necessary now to reform our electoral process, looking at all that have gone on or transpired at the Supreme Court?
Thank you very much. It's been said that an unexamined life is not worth living, and life is dynamic. So as life moves on in an advanced trend, definitely systems will have to be improved. And from what has gone on, it's obvious to all of us that there were a bit of some inadequacies in our system, and it gives us cause to talk about improvement of our system. No person than Busumuru Kutandun, for example, has called for some reform in a way as to strengthen our electoral system. So I think that it is good that we think about reforming our system. It is important for us to do so because we agree that, I mean, we are not perfect beings, and as we are not perfect beings, we strive to hit perfection in our processes, and so I think it is good that we must be thinking. For example, I have questioned as to why even the issue of spoiled ballots, for example, is still an issue, and it comes in a very colossal figure, close to 300,000, which could have gone to the advantage of one candidate, I mean, to save us even the need to be going back and forth. So we need to really get an understanding of the pattern of the spoiled ballots, where is it concentrated in? I mean, so that it will be a matter for educators to be able to target such areas and do something about it. Secondly, the biometric voter registration, for example, is a new technology. So definitely, we might have faltered in one way or the other, though we have done the best that we can to be able to use a new technology in ensuring that everybody voted, and then we want to ensure a credible election. And yet, we have seen cases where things that we didn't anticipate. One, for example, we didn't anticipate that people who are older or people who have worked and so therefore their palms have worn off, the machine may not be able to pick it. We didn't anticipate that the machine, on the vigorous of weather, would be breaking down and therefore, I mean, pushing our election to a second day, which is contrary to the normal. So I think that these are reasons why the EP must be thinking about something to improve our system. So I think there's a need for it.
But Sheikh, what about the question of recruiting the right caliber of people to administer the elections at the constituency level?
Yes, I mean it's you see, for our democracy to get deepened, it hinges so much on the quality and quantity of our electoral system. And that is why the credibility of our results must encourage, the need for credibility of our results of election must encourage us, inspire us to look at all aspects of the process. And so one aspect has to do with the human dimensions, the personal dimension. You need experts. Some of the experts will do the administrative work. Others will also have to do some technical work. I mean, so these things are that's why training is very, very important. Unfortunately, the EC admitted that they were constrained because they could not rely on the teachers that they were using before because of some difficulties. So I think that learning from this lesson and then going forward, the EC could look at the possibility of training people, registering them at a very early stage, and then giving them the training, and then reviewing the training as the time come closer. In other words, once you have been registered, you have shown your consent that you are ready to support the system, you will be given the initial training, and then as the time come close, you go for another review of the training, and then you can now participate so that we can guarantee the sanctity of the process. In all of that, we can also guarantee the credibility of the results. Once we guarantee the credibility of the results, then the results become legitimate. There will be no need for any person to raise a voice against a result of election that is obviously legitimate in the mind and thinking of all those who participated. And I think that that is the aspect that is an important aspect that we must look at. With the training of personnel for purposes of election, I think that the EC could. And then I think that I also want to add that the EC should look at the various dimensions of the election operation and look at whether there are other democratic institutions whose contribution or collaboration could help strengthen. And here I'm talking about the NCCE. So if there's an area that the NCC could be of help because they have offices spread across the length and breadth of the country, the EC could take advantage of the workers of NCCE and other similar organizations to beef up the personnel strength of that requirement so that we can have a very good and credible election.
Hi, Sheikh, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
My pleasure.
Sheikh Arimiyau Shaibu is a member of Kudil. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. Behind the News is live on Radio BAR 93.5 in Sinai. In what may look like a sharp U-turn to most Ghanaians, the NPP has stated that it might seek a review of the Supreme Court judgment delivered last Thursday. The position runs contrary to what first petitioner Nanado said immediately after the verdict, that he will not seek a review even though he disagrees with the judgment. The party has constituted a three-member team made up of former attorney generals of the party to study the judgment and advise on the way forward. The three-member team include Aikoyotu, Joe Gatti, and Papawisu Ankuma. Now let's hit the phone lines to talk to one of the three-man review team in the person of Lawyer Ayukwe Otu. Good evening, Mr. Otu, and you're welcome.
Good evening.
Well, the NPP General Secretary Kwejo Wusefie says if your team recommends a review, the party would seek a review. Won't that run contrary to what Nanado has expressly stated?
Well, that may look like exactly the point the way you are putting it. But we are all aware that this decision did not come with reason. So for now, nobody knows the reasons why the petition was dismissed. What we know is rather the voting pattern. You know, and when it comes to the critical areas of overvoting, voting without biometric verification, and no signature of presiding officer, it appears that the voting there was very close, 5-4, unlike the other ones where we had a 9-0, you know, verdict. Or decision. So we need to study the reasons given, and then we'll make our recommendation to the council and the National Executive Committee.
Well, but have you cited the reasoning behind the judgment, as you said, so as to make you make an informed decision to the council?
Yes. As I said, everybody is aware that the reasons are not being given. As at today, we have still not received the reasons. So between me and you, or you and I, can you tell me why, for example, overvoting was not upheld by the court? And look at the interpretation that other people are putting on. What they are saying is that, is it a license now that during elections you can do anything you like, and at the end of the day, the judges will endorse it? So we need to see the reasons. And perhaps they did not say that they are not waiting. Perhaps they said that there wasn't sufficient evidence brought before them, which would have enabled them to maybe cancel the results. Okay? So yeah. that we, without the reasoning behind the decision, I don't think that, you know, the work has been done. I did make this point, you know, earlier, that the peers will depend upon what the judges will do. They have to give reasoned decisions. Let the leaders who understand the law read and explain to their people that, look, looking at the reasons given, we think that they are so weighty that there's no need anybody wasting his time and crying over spilled milk. But there you are. Decisions have been given, no reasons. So nobody understands the position. All they know is that the position has been dismissed.
Well, you said you have not seen the reason, but have you been to the court registry and what did they say is causing the delay in releasing the reasoning?
Well, I understand that there is a difficulty with one judge, Justice's pen drive, and that is causing a delay because they had to scan, you know, the hard copy first. So that was the official reason I got on Friday. As at today, the efforts by others to, you know, obtain copies have not materialized.
So if I understand you clearly, as soon as you get the reasoning behind the judgment, your work will begin.
That is exactly the position, because the mandate or the terms of reference would be to study the reasons behind the decision and recommend to the council whether, you know, the decisions are weighty enough to let sleeping dogs lie.
Well, Mr. Ayiko, to the position taken by, say, John and some people in the party seem to some observers that there are sharp disagreements within your ranks. Isn't that the case?
Well, I have said that I don't want to be dragged into any controversy. As far as I'm concerned, I don't have any such evidence. You know, sometimes it's the statement across the board that creates the difficulty. Are people appeased? Yes, it is true that one of our number has also said some unpalatable things about the judges and the judgment. But, you know, people are peeved about the singling out of Justice Eningi Boa by Mr. Chajujikata, you know, and trying to give him party colors. Because if you do recall, at the start of this hearing, it was the party that rather raised the issue about Mr. Justice Atukuba that it's not trusted neutrality. You know, after some time, they decided to withdraw the, you know, objection. And then they just went on with the hearing. You and I will know that out of the six claims, Mr. Justice Atukuba voted against the MPP in all of them. There was not a single one that he even voted in favor. Now, when you come to Mr. Jesus, you know, in Yibua, you will find that he was part of the nine justices that unanimously dismissed the three claims of the petitioners. So the evidence of the flies in the face of what Mr. Chikata was saying, that he did not vote in favor of the NDC on any score at all. And yet there were consistent persons, justices, who voted against the petitioner's position in order to dismiss the claim. Not even one. They did not find favor. Even the 5-4. Close decisions, they still voted against the petitions. What do you want, you know, the MPP to feel about also those justices? So if we have finished and Nana Akufo-Addo has gone and told the world that he was prepared to accept the decision, not even to seek a review, and then you begin to hear things like this, you know, it becomes worrying, you know, which will other people say that, well, but if they are not letting sleeping dogs lie, why should we also not wake our sleeping dogs?
Well, on that issue of Chatu's comments, and on a lighter note, some people think that Beshi entered Chatu when he made those comments. Do you think so too?
I agree with you. Because at his age and experience, you know, why would what might have possessed him? Well, you see, the Beshi has a twin brother called Alali. So perhaps when the Beshi possessed Sir John, the Alali also decided to possess Chatu Shikata on this occasion.
All right, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Lawyer Ayikwe Otu is one of the three-man review team of the NPP to study the judgment and advice on the way forward. Now, let's read some of your text messages before we leave. And JY says, Chatu doesn't want to be forgotten soon after being heard for 8 months. Ghana First, not 80 individual. And Abuba Inima says, Chatu has thrown more light on how they came by their victory. It's by political lines. Abuba again says, Nanado has demonstrated that he is the most peace-loving person in the country now. And Jacob says, I thought the judges were neutral, but Chatu has made me understood that they have their political sides. God save us. And Mahama says, it's unfortunate for a lawyer of Chachu's caliber to make such comments. All have seen that the judgment is not fair, but for the sake of peace, Nana accepted it. And AU Farouk says, Chatu has done nothing wrong by expressing his opinion. What can we say about Gabi's comments as well? And Monica Kons in Avungo says, that here the NPP will be heading back to court for review. Well, with the acceptance by the flag bearer, I think they should all accept it in good faith. And Kwesi Fane in Southpaw says, I think we should put the verdict behind and move Ghana forward. And this is where we wrap up for tonight's edition of the program. My producers were Christopher Sidi, Edmund Tete, Felix Kofi, John Poby, and Celestine Avi. Me and I, so I control the sounds. And Najabli Ago was my summarizer. Have a lovely night. My name is Agatha Samoa.